That is why when I started with Ritrika's question, that why do you want to work that much? And I said, leave it. Because it's better to go here. Because this work will reach the mother faster than this work, than this level. Because when you're working with your mind, when you're working with your life and emotions, when you're working with your body, what are we doing? We are into operation on these levels. Now from here, imagine Friedrich, if I have to go to the higher mind, interior mind, revelation mind, or over mind and super mind, it could be many births. So what am I trying to do? If I am trying to reach the mother's consciousness, you see, frankly, I don't want the super mind. Because frankly, for myself, I would want the Chittapas, the mother here. Or she is also the supramental mother. So for me, reaching the Chittapas or the supramental or the Jivatman, they're all one. But the shortcut is the psychic. The long cut is this vertical. And here it requires tapasya. Whereas here it requires devotion, dedication, offering. Just 1 minute. So this is the work of the offering. And that's why I insisted, let's go the horizontal way. And the closer we go, the closer we, the more intense we feel the mother's consciousness in us. But here, the higher you go, because the mother is here on the, as a supramental Mahashakti. She is not on the overmind and this and this and this. So for the supramental Mahashakti to come down into the mind and help you, there are many rungs here. Whereas here, she can directly act upon the psychic, and psychic, if you enforce the psychic being, it will start working, as I said here, on your, the psychic being comes on this mind. Oh, these are the levels. These are there, but they are less dense than the overmind, illumined mind, etc. Whereas the mind is, I would say, the word is dense. Here also there are levels are there, but already this level is under the influence of the psychic being. This level is under the influence of the worlds. It is this connects with the universal level. And this is the only problem, fellow, is this ego. So personally, what mother did was this. The psychic being is called the mother's yoga. The vertical is the Shravinda's yoga. So in Savitri, Ashwapati takes this such supramental vertical yoga, and Savitri takes the horizontal yoga. So both these passages are possible. But essentially Sri Aurobindo went the vertical and mother went the horizontal. And that is why the mother gives the word psychic being, not Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo later, when he revised synthesis of yoga, it was after the mother came. So most of his words of soul, they became psychic being, because mother gave this word, the psychic being. Now, what is the psychic being and the soul? You wait for tomorrow. I will talk about that. I won't tell you too much. So there's a difference in that. Now, this is the vertical, horizontal. And why the psychic being is, we can be under the direct... You know, you're all my good friends. I must tell you, in reality, we have a limited time upon earth. We are not here eternally. So in this limited time, we have to see what is my shortcut. I choose this. So that is why I know to get rid of the ego is an immense work. But still, that is within my reach. If I am conscious, if I can offer, if I can think of the mother, if there is an egoistic thing, if I am into clash with something, if I have an argument with somebody, I just keep mum. I know it's hurting me, but I know this hurt is knocking down my ego. So kind of I take the pain upon me of insult, of hurt and all that, because in a way subconsciously I know this hurt is kind of rubbing my ego somewhere. And this ego rubbing is good. Although I feel the terrible pain, I may get angry, I want to get back at you, I want to hit at you. But if you can swallow that pain at that time, you have gained for your sadhana. So that is why she would say all circumstances, good or bad, if you are conscious, are helpful. Because your ego is getting rubbing. So more the rubbing, it gets lesser and less. So that is the path of this Jivatman. Now, this last concept I was explaining, this is the comprehending level, the apprehending and the involved. Involved is where the supermind itself comes down through these levels into the unconscious. Pardon? Yeah.
So the best way is diagonal, right?
The vertical.
No, diagonal. You can combine maybe the two things, or not?
Well, that's what mathematics tells us. But in yoga, there's no diagonal. It's either vertical, horizontal or vertical. Because in diagonally, you don't reach anywhere.
Well, you say like the horizontal way is
the psychic,
down your ego.
Yeah.
And the other way is like you could call meditation.
Okay,
way.
Let's keep it for that. Yes.
At least that's my understanding.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you can combine these two kind of practices.
No, that is true. Sri Aurobindo does mention that you can practice both together, but it leans towards the horizontal.
He does mention,
you see, those who are capable can do both. Or you can come here to a great length, suspend that, and then start this. Or you can go to a high length, suspend that, come here. So he says one can take both parallelly, but it is easier to take the vertical, because we as devotees of the mother, horizontal, because we as devotees of the mother, we have a psychic being, means we have the consciousness of the mother. But when it is intuitive mind, I don't know who is the devotee, God there, who is the deity there. Because you see, each level has a deity, has got a God and a consciousness. But you see, practical level, when I say offering, there must be somebody to offer it to. You see, when I'm giving this cup to you, there's a person to whom I'm offering. So on this level, I don't know who the person is. It could be Indra or Varuna or X or Z. But here I know that there's a mother. Because mother says, go deep inside the temple and you'll find me there. So she says, I'm here.
Yeah, but there is no problem.
What is the problem?
Understand it as shit.
As?
As
shit.
Shit. Shit.
Yeah, you see.
Yeah, but then it is the same as when you go.
No. If you go here, you don't get into chit.
No, but you also don't know.
No, these are the, as I said, parallelly.
Yeah, I understand, but I need to have this shit consciousness there.
You see, if it's not personal, it becomes more difficult to do the offering.
Yes.
Yeah, so it is easier for us to have a person to offer to. And that is one of the reasons why the Sri Aurobindo brings down the mother. You see, in this yoga, he said you cannot be impersonal. You have to have the person. You have to have the mother as your consecration deity. Otherwise, that is why he says, without the mother, no integral yoga.
Then I can only say Sri Aurobindo instead of mother.
Yeah. Mother and Sri Aurobindo is the same consciousness. That we know is the one consciousness.
There are some problems there.
Well,
you said before when you have been talking about your own offering, little offering gestures, you often replaced mother by Lord. And so maybe this...
I have a problem.
But mother says she is a Lord.
Yeah, but I know I read all this, but I have a problem.
Well, now that you know it.
I read also that mother said, "Yao, we know," and I am the same. So I, instead of mother, I can also say.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no difference. There's no difference at all. Because they themselves say, we are a single consciousness in two bodies. So it's up to us to see to whom do we call upon first. Because, you know, sometimes, say for example, when I'm reading the Life Divine, for my consciousness is Sri Aurobindo, who is obviously much closer to me. When I'm speaking about Life Divine or philosophy or synthesis, it's always remember this Sri Aurobindo consciousness. But when I speak about yoga and other things, somewhere the heart goes to the mother. In fact, the mother herself says synthesis has the psychic touch of Sri Aurobindo, whereas the Life Divine has got this over-mental touch. So you see, every book has its own particular consciousness. So when you read the synthesis, your psychic being has a better approach of awakening. I'm sorry, I'll come back to your question. Yeah.
In relation to that, coming from a Western world, let's say people who have never heard of the Vedas or Advaita or Sri Aurobindo, where would be, let's say, a Buddha or Christ consciousness or Tao come into that? Would it come up there where chit is, basically?
Yeah. Your question?
I want to come a little back to our question in the beginning. Maybe I show it so I don't need to speak this word, what I cannot do. When you talk about shit, you said, okay, this consciousness comes to pick the cup up. And you went on this side. Where is this consciousness, by example, some friend said, oh wow, I asked the divine for a question. And this same evening, some other has an idea to give a person a book. And this person said, oh, what shall I do with this book? Opens the book, and exactly on this is the answer of what the person asked before. So this is nothing, oh, I'm thirsty, but the mind is going one step after the other, I'm thirsty after drink. That is something that creates the brain. And this other consciousness is something, it just happens. How can this one person pick up the book and the other person is just reading the answer? And where is this second consciousness with the book, the example, where is this standing? Is that this way? Or is this the brain way? This is what I like to understand.
Okay, now I'll take up your question because hers is a little lengthy. Now, where do Buddha and Christ and all this, you know, they come in this picture? I think, what's the time limit you have? Midnight? Isa, can I ask you to get me some tea?
Thank you.
The black tea. Now here, this is a bit of a different idea, but it's a very interesting question, so let me take it up. You see, we have super mind, over mind, intuitive mind, illumined mind, higher mind, and mind. Now what happens is that there is the Supreme Sachidananda, and as I said, Supreme Sachidananda, he comes down upon earth in different forms, what we call in India the avatar or the incarnation. Now there is a line of these incarnations, and the mother speaks that there's first an incarnation in the inconscient itself. That means the Sachidananda comes straight into the inconscience. What we say, the parallel, you know, remember the other one? The parallel line, this one. So there is one line which comes straight into the inconscience. That is called the line of avatars or the incarnations. Avatar or incarnation. That is, you know, one day I should talk to you about the lines of the descent of consciousness. Then the whole picture becomes so very clear. Well, for the present, there's one line which comes straight into the inconscient called the first avatar. And what is that first avatar? There's no name. But avatar means, the simple word avatar means to descend. Avatarana is a Sanskrit word which means to come down, to descend. So when Satchitananda comes down into the inconscient, we say it's the first avatar. Now, this first avatar from the inconscient, it comes to the level of matter. It is this avatar who pushes evolution upward. Because you see, normally we think evolution means matter, then life and then mind. No. Somebody has to push the evolution up or really give that aspiration. So he says, in this inconscient, those of you who have read Savitri, the first canto, second page, inconscient teases the ignorance to awake. So there's a kind of a pressure building up in the inconscient and saying, hey, I want to move forward. And that is nothing but the divine consciousness, what we call the consciousness of the first avatar. Then that pushes, and then there, after billions of years, we have matter. And then again, after millions of years, the divine consciousness pushes up, and then you have life. And similarly, you have mind. Now, this is a phenomenon that is incredible when we understand Sri Aurobindo. Now, for example, how does a human child, how is he born? There's the preparation of the womb in the woman. A woman can't give birth to a child at the age of 8. There is the preparation of the womb when it is ready. So when it is ready, the womb is ready, then the sperm comes into that. Then the sperm joining with ovum, that is the conceptual, the conception. And then when the conception comes, after 9 months, the child is born. That is how creation takes place on our level. Exactly the same process is the process of evolution. Now, when matter is ready, the womb of matter is ready, there's got to be the sperm of the divine. Without the sperm, there cannot be a creation. It's got to be the joining of the sperm and the ovum. So if matter is the ovum, then the sperm of life has to descend. Then only matter gets pregnant. And after millions of years, matter delivers a baby called life. And that now science can describe, saying unicellular in the water, multicellular. Then after that, let science describe you. But the reason and the cause, Sri Aurobindo tells us, that first there is the pregnancy of matter itself. Now, from where does the sperm come in? That's the question. And the sperm that comes down is called the avatar. So avatar is that divine sperm who impregnates matter. And then there is life. And after millions of years, when life womb is ready, then there has got to be again a divine avatar who brings in the sperm of the mind. That is the sperm of the divine. Then after millions of years, when the mind is ready, the next level sperm comes down and delivers from the mind the next level called the supramental. So each one of them, what we see, is the work of the avatar. So avatar is not just any God-man. There can be plenty of God-men, plenty of yogis, plenty of sadhaks, plenty of saints. But they are not avatars. Avatar is one who comes to impregnate the lower nature, lower level, for the delivery of the next birth. Now, if this is the process of evolution, that is why we call it the evolution of consciousness. It's not just the evolution of nature. You see, when the sperm and the ovum, they connect, then the body is built in the womb. And then the body becomes a male or a female or whatever. It's the nature which builds the body. But first there's got to be this impregnation. Without that, the body is not born. This is the concept that we find in Sri Aurobindo, and he explains it in the essays on the Gita, the two chapters called Avatarhood, the brilliant chapters. Now this is what was there in our ancient mythology too, but Sri Aurobindo gives it a philosophical background, explanation in fact. Now this person or this avatar who brings in this impregnation at each level has a different name. Now, the one who impregnates matter is one avatar. We don't know the name. Of course, in Indian mythology we have given names, but they are not important for you. Then we in India have given this word of Varaha avatar, Kurma avatar. Kurma is the tortoise. So the tortoise is one that can go between earth and water. It can go between the two. Now in fact, this is the Kurma, this is the Varaha. Varaha is the pig. That means, on this level, now you see after matter, Kurma is between water and earth. Then life is Varaha, the pig or the boar, not the pig, actually the word is boar, the boar avatar. Who is there on the life level? Now, after boar, then there comes the mind. And say, this is the super mind. Now, in the mental level, there is what we call the first initial mind. I mean, we are not become mental creatures over day, overnight, over centuries. It has taken us millions of years from the first caveman to the computer man. There's a huge evolution. But here also what has happened from the first level of mind to second, third, fourth and the present level of mind, there have been several stages. And here one stage is Rama. What we call Sri Ram is the first intellectual consciousness in mankind. Before that, there were other levels. The caveman was here. But already there was a little kind of a transition. This boar, Varaha avatar, brought in, because that is why animals are supposed to have the first rudimentary mind. It's called the rudimentary mind. It's not the man mind, it's the animal mind. So when proper mind came, the intellectual mind, the impregnating avatar is called Sri Ram. It could be any name, you give another name. But there is a being in India, that person has been given the name Sri Ram. Then there was this question of the next level, where mind got the inner being, the psychic being. Mind was merged with the psychic. That means, not merged, that means the emergence of the psychic. You see, the first mind, the first man, tomorrow is my story of the psychic being, so I'll not tell you that. But the first man did have a psychic being, but not yet the developed one, is not yet ready to reincarnate. However, that's a different story. But there is a level of the human being where the psychic being comes forward. And that is the level of Christ. That is why Christ and this question of compassion, Christ and this love, the inner being love, Christ essentially represents the psychic love. So it is He who introduced, in fact, Sri Aurobindo has a beautiful thoughts and aphorisms. He says, there have been four great events in world's history. One of them was, four great events in world's history which have civilized mankind or humanized mankind. One is the tale of Troy. Second is the birth of Christ on the cross. Third is the Gita, Sri Krishna's teaching on the war field. That's Gita. And the fourth one, I said to forget right away. So Christ symbolizes the psychic element in human evolution. So that is why when he incarnated as the divine, came as Christ, humanity got to know the psychic being. I mean, got to know means there's a possibility of we becoming more and more psychic, going inward. And now there is, beyond this, there is the overmind. We are no supermind is the highest. There is this overmind level which is brought in by Sri Krishna. So you see, each time an avatar is coming, he is impregnating the lower level to deliver the higher baby. So Christ did that for the mind, and the mind Sri Rama did that here. So what is happening? There is a human advancement. An advancement means of the consciousness brought in only thanks to the avatar. Because however much nature may be ready, the womb may be ready, but without the impregnation, no higher birth is possible. So there came in Sri Krishna, and then there comes the Buddha. Now this is a very mystery. Did Buddha bring in something beyond the overmind? No. Then how is it that in the history of in the evolutionary process, Buddha comes after Sri Krishna? You see, Buddha should have been before Sri Krishna, but Buddha comes after. The latest avatar is the Buddha. And then so Sri Aurobindo, even here, Christ is here. Now this one. Now Christ and Buddha, they have come after Sri Krishna. Now evolutionary wise, how does it happen? You see, from Sri Ram to Sri Krishna we have understood. Because mind and then over mind. That is understandable. But how is it that after Sri Krishna there was the Christ and Buddha? That's the question that we need to solve. Sri Aurobindo tells us it has happened in this manner. In a way, it is to consolidate the levels between overmind and the mind. You see, after Sri Ram, say this is the mind, this is after Ram, if the leap was too much to overmind brought in by Sri Krishna, the impregnation was too much, and there we missed all these lines of evolutionary possibilities. So although after Sri Ram there is Sri Krishna, then there is the Christ and the Buddha who bring in these levels, illumined mind, that is the Krishna, and the intuitive mind is the Buddha. So these levels have been kind of added on. So that the human consciousness from mind, it can go into Christ, into Buddha, and then come to Sri Krishna. So these rungs of the ladder have been added. Whereas evolutionary wise, this is the right step, mind to over mind. But humankind felt it is too large a gap. So Lord Christ and Lord Buddha had to come in. So in a way what happens, Lord Christ and the Buddha are not taken as evolutionary avatars, but as avatars who have filled in the intermediary gaps. From the evolution point of view, there is life and matter. So matter to life, life to mind, and mind to overmind, and from overmind to supermind. But these levels, again the Lord had to come to fill in these strata. And that is how now Buddha and Christ, although they have come after Sri Krishna, they have their place in this evolutionary ladder. Now following this last one, from here when the mind is ready, there's got to be the descent of one impregnating avatar, bringing in the supramental consciousness. Now who it is, many would claim. In India there are already people saying, no, my guru also is an avatar because he knew about supermind. In fact, those of you, some of you might have read K.D. Setna's, a voluminous book of letters between himself and a Christian father in Kerala, who said, no, Christ also brought in supermind. Christ knew of supermind. So now there is a competition between avatars. Who is greater, your avatar or my avatar? Sri Krishna or Christ? I said, look, in these steps when you go up, which is the most important step? First one or the third one or fifth one or the tenth one?
First.
Each one is important. The first is as important as third, third is important as the fifth, fifth is as important as the ninth. If you want to reach the third, first floor, each step has its own importance. Without any one of them, you couldn't have gone up. So there's no question of saying, oh, after all, you know, Vara avatar is not so important, Sri Ram is not important, our Christ has come later, so Christ is... Now that's a very illogical religious argument. So Sri Aurobindo says, in a ladder, each step is important because it leads you higher in the consciousness. So now this supramental avatar, one who brings down the supramental consciousness, impregnates mind, is Sri Aurobindo and the mother themselves. Now there's one funny thing you have seen. Till now, there is a single avatar. It's only now there is a dual avatar. Dual avatar. Two. Till now we spoke about Christ and Sri Ram and Krishna and Buddha as a single person. And as a male person. Remember, these are the two important things. But for the first time, we have a female and a dual avatar. This is the importance of the supermind, because supermind cannot be brought down just the knowledge. It has to be brought in with the force, accompanying force. So if Sri Aurobindo brought in the knowledge, the mother represents that consciousness force. Because otherwise supermind cannot transform the world. That's why till now the world has never been transformed. It has gotten a higher step, a higher possibility, it's fine. But the human beings have remained the same. Because there was no chit shakti. Neither Christ, nor Buddha, nor Rama had the accompanying chit shakti. So the first time we see the mother as a chit shakti, and we have seen who the mother is. So she, Sri Aurobindo, brought her down specifically, because without her, the transformation of the world could not have taken place. Sri Aurobindo himself says, if the mother had not come to Pondicherry, his yoga could not have proceeded far. He was stuck up in his yoga somewhere. It's the mother who comes and helps him out. So this is a single question, where is Krishna and Buddha? Now you had this question, what was your initial question?
It's a diagonal.
Diagonal thing, as I told you, it's not feasible. I gave you the answer for that. Sri Aurobindo does mention it's a possibility. But being what human nature is better that we take to one path at a time.
But I think, like, you know, if you're meditating, it has an influence on your work, on your ego. You need to be conscious to work on your ego, to really get free of your ego, you know. And then if you meditate more, you get more conscious, and it's easier to get loose of your ego. And if you get loose of your
ego, that's where you are going wrong in the definition of meditation itself. Because that's what we have to understand, what exactly is meditation, why do we do, what is it that we do during meditation. Because meditation, we normally think we go up, and devotion is the vertical side, the horizontal level. But this, but Mother has combined in meditation a movement inwards and not a movement upwards. Sri Aurobindo also has given us that you meditate in the heart, not meditate in the mind. And the Mother, all of you have read it surely, she would say, during meditation, sit in front of the bronze door that is there, here. You say, when you go in, she would say, just hold that back there. She would say, when your mind starts meditation, you will find a big bronze door here. So she says, once you start sitting down in meditation, you think that beyond this door, this bronze door, a heavy door, there is the psychic being. So she says, you sit in front and knock on the door. Knocking means aspiring that may I realize my psychic being. So it's like a drop of water which takes 100 years, but it will split the rock. So each time we sit in meditation, we say, I want to break this door, knock on the door. He says, stubbornly you aspire. Not aspire saying, I want to go into the super mind and mind, no. You say, I want to go within. And then she would say, if you are persistent, the door will break. Although in the beginning it looks like a bronze door, unbreakable, but that is called the aspiration. And now may I add here that this offering that we spoke about in the beginning, when I said each of my action, each of my thought I'm offering, that is the form of aspiration. That is the form of knocking on the door. So our offering is not just to a deity to please. Take it down, or maybe put it here. So one of the most pragmatic ways of offer of aspiration is a constant memory, constant offering. The more I offer, so I don't have to be sitting in meditation for offering. So now you see our yoga becomes so easy that I don't have to sit in meditation. What you are saying of working for the AVI 24 hours a day, if we can offer that, that becomes the knocking on the door. So you can knock on the door sitting in meditation, singing a song, or digging your garden. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, bhakti yoga. So what I'm telling my young friend is not that meditation alone gives you the knocking down of this bronze door. Every time we think of the divine and say, this is offered, this offering is like a shot of arrow that goes and knocks against this door. So the more we offer, the more there is this banging on the door. And with each banging, the door gets smaller and more it will break. So one day you suddenly realize the door is smashed. You said, no, I never meditated. But still, you can smash the door through any of this process or all of this process. But it's easier and better to do all the three processes because we can find a balance within our being. We don't want to be karma yogis or dhyana yogis or bhakti yogis. We want to be all the three. So what happens, you know, in karma, the shot of arrow has a specific amount of power. But in bhakti, the power that is there in that arrow of devotion is the most powerful arrow. Neither mind nor work can be that powerful an arrow as the bhakti yoga, that arrow with tinted with devotion. That's why we say in India, we have taken to this bhakti a lot more than jnana, because to knock down the door, I mean very rudely, I could say this is 60% and rest are 20 plus 20, almost, if I don't want to be partial. The bhakti yoga has that power to knock down this door. Or even if we want to say 50, the others are 25, 25. So bhakti has the strongest power of destroying that door. So we have so many saints, so many devotees. And so today, if India is surviving, it's because of this bhakti yoga. Surviving in its spirituality. Before that, for thousands of years, hundreds of years, it did the jnana yoga, the yoga of the mind. But that was not a good solution. Because this meditative yoga always took you away from the earth. You said, I want to become one with the Brahman, I don't have nothing to do with earth. But bhakti yoga, we saw the Lord. That is why in India, every street has a different god and a goddess. Because that responds to the bhakti. Because a Kulyapala man cannot understand the mother. But he will understand a Shanganyaman. That means a deity who is on their level. So what is important is this bhakti arrow, which is having the 50% of the power of knocking down. So there we can approach the psychic being. So that's what I'm telling you. Meditation itself is good. But if it is done in the line of the mother and Sri Aurobindo, meditating on the heart, then the meditating hour becomes much more useful. Then just to say meditating for silencing the mind, all that is time-taking, time-consuming. So mother says, why do you want to do that time-consuming thing? Just follow the one that's more lucrative, more powerful. You had a question?
I understand
the question.
What is
bhakti?
Bhakti?
Bhakti is devotion. Bhakti is the word for devotion that is centered in your heart level. So it is devotion to the divine. It is not devotion to your girlfriend, to your parents, to your friends. That's not devotion. That is emotional attachment. But when we have a devotion to the divine, that is called bhakti. And that is what we have practiced.
So this is the horizontal.
So that is the path of the horizontal, which is, as I was telling, it's more direct. So the path to the divine is bhakti yoga is a shortcut. Not that you cannot do other ways. But that is much more endearing. And in Sri Aurobindo is not just bhakti yoga, doesn't mean you go to the temple and do all these pujas and ceremonies. You see, normally when we say devotion, we think of a church or a temple and then all the ceremonies of garlands and flowers and incense stick. No. I'm sitting here, I can have the devotion and I say, Mother, take this as an offering to you. So I can offer exactly where I am, whatever I'm doing. I don't need a church anymore, nor do I need a temple anymore. Because I'm just trying to realize the psychic being which is here. So for us, spirituality becomes so very omnipresent. It's no more prisoned up in a church or a temple or a spot. Till now, God had a place upon earth. But now we are giving God the entire earth itself. That is why your philosophy of environment, green movement, all movements are coming today. Why do you think earth is important? We all speak of the earth consciousness, human unity, oneness of everybody. Because it's as if the divine is released from the prison of the church and the temple. Today the divine is here, divine is there, divine is within. So spirituality becomes much more challenging, much more interesting way than religion. Religion, you have to have a specific garb, specific dress, specific time, specific deity. Here, you don't need anything. Yeah, have I answered all your questions? Yeah, you have a question? No.
Now I don't have another question, but I already feel a pity when you know this and I heard it, and then I will forget so many things, and then I die, and how we can, yeah, that is good that the young people listen. So then I must now. Because I am going now 13 years and I feel I don't know what I said. Maybe people came more conscious, and that is already the first step. Hmm?
Yeah, I mean, you can see these young people are coming up.
Yeah, that is nice to see you, I must say.
Now, tomorrow actually.
You stayed here, though, I really appreciate it. Because it's 30 years, no? Only 30 years, no? And I was not so young as you, I was only 40 or so about that. Yeah.
Well, tomorrow in the psychic being, I'll explain, I mean, more intensely about the psychic being, and that would be the real, I mean, today I've given you the psychological, philosophic background, but tomorrow we'll see into the psychic being. And it's a good title they have given, Psychic Being in Integral Yoga. So I'll try and see how it is related to our yoga and day-to-day life itself. It's not just a theory. So I'll get into those details tomorrow. I'm sorry, can you repeat once?
Where the path is to this different conscience, because for me there's a third one, and this is the most difficult to understand, when some fear, when the emotional fear is telling me to this and that, and there are three kinds of conscience that me act, and this example with the book is very, very difficult to decide or differentiate from when some vital fear is telling me something, and for the one picture, can you show where the position of the consciousness works out?
You see here, you see all that you are saying is purely on this level. It has nothing to do with the chit consciousness or the supermind, etc. We are basically guided by this mind. And when you say tomorrow, next day somebody gives you the exact book and you open the page and you get the exact answer, there is this intuition. And intuition guides somebody on the mental level and say, pick up that book. So that said, intuition working in on the level of the mind, but nothing to do with this Satchitananda or the supermind. We have got this intermediary level of intuition, higher mind, illumined mind. In fact, I forgot to tell you in this chart, there is, we have got illumined mind Christ, and here also there is Sri Ramakrishna. You know, we have this avatar in Dakshineshwar, Sri Ramakrishna. You see, this is how we have got a leap from the mind to the overmind, but there are kind of sub-avatars, if I can call them, who are fulfilling these roles, intuitive mind, illumined mind, higher mind. There's somebody called Sri Chaitanya from Bengal. He's also called partial avatar. But a partial avatar because he has also fulfilled a step in between, a higher mind, illumined mind, intuitive mind. So, this is what is interesting. For every level we have had this avataric purushas, but who came time-wise after the overmind, because the gap was too much. So we have got higher mind, Sri Ramakrishna, Sri Chaitanya, illumined mind, Sri Ramakrishna and Christ, intuitive mind by the Buddha, and then we have the overmind, Sri Krishna, and supermind, we have Sri Aurobindo and the mother. So let us not say Sri Aurobindo and the mother are greater than Christ or Rama. But we can say they are higher. in the ladder. But the consciousness is the same Sachidananda. It is one divine who has come as Christ or Ram or Sri Krishna or Buddha or Christ. It is the one single divine consciousness. Because you see, they wanted to evolve, make mankind go forward. And then you see, at the time of say, maybe 10,000 years back, if Sri Aurobindo had come bringing on the super mind, what would you understand? It will be that kind of a leap from mind to over mind. So if Sri Aurobindo came at the level of this of the Kurma level and brought the supermind, humanity will say, what am I to do with the supermind? I can't even understand the concept. But today the mind is ready to understand the concept. The womb of the mind is ready. So the mother and Sri Aurobindo, they have brought the seed into the sperm and put it in the mental consciousness. So now the mind consciousness is developing that baby, the supramental baby. So that delivery is not 9 months, it could be 300 years. So that is the formation that is taking place of the new Superman or the new being. And it is in that process that we are all struggling with Auroville and this and that. This is all nothing great. But at the same time, is building up the body of the new being. So all these pressures are required on the mental being.
It's not our matter, actually.
Pardon?
It's not our personal matter, it will come at all.
No, I couldn't get
that the baby grows.
Yeah, yeah, but these are the pressures that will create. A universal being is being formed through the agency of these individuals working for the new ideal. You see, that is why we now we should be working for the new consciousness. Then only the new consciousness baby will be born. If you go back to religion, if you go back to other isms, if you go back to old religions, then this birth of the new baby will take time, will be more delayed. So the value of our work is we are creating the new baby, and in the process, there is that beautiful line in Savitri, what is that born is the gold, what is that? Gold child, no. Built is the golden tower, and the flame child born. This is one of the most magnificent sentences where the Divine Mother is telling the Mother, the built is the golden tower, the flame child born. Now you see, this is the magnificent thing, the flame child is this. That as we build our psychic being, so there is the building of the new being. It is such a simultaneous work. So that is why I am always emphasizing that Auroville is building of the flame child. Because in the building of the flame child is the birth of this new supramental being. And that is what Mother herself explained when she saw in somebody the psychic being. I think I explained in one of the classes and lectures at SSCB. That she says, I've seen in one person the psychic being 10 centimeters beyond the body. At that time she was asking the question, how will the new body be made? And then it's as if Sri Aurobindo shows her, gives her the answer saying, the psychic being outside the body? We have seen the psychic being is so way beyond inside. But then this person has had such a growth of the psychic being that it is outside. And then Mother gets the answer, it is the psychic being that will be born as a new being. So that clicks. So now why I'm saying built is the golden tower, fine, the Matri Mandir is made. But the flame child must be born. So once this outer being is done, then the inner being must respond. So I come back to my eternal theme, Everything that we do in Auroville must reflect this inner ideal. Otherwise, every project, every work that we do should not be taken out of the context of the ideal of Auroville. Because the plain child is what is important for us. And then one little thing I wanted to tell you in this context is very interesting. That this first avatar has a name. And that name is called Satyavan. Satyavan. This is Satyavan. That is the secret we found. And there is a cassette for salesmanship, I am telling you. I have explained this entire CD of Savitri. Bringing out how Satyavan is the first avatar who evolves through the mind, through matter, through life, through mind, and now he calls down Savitri. And this Satyavan is another name for Sri Aurobindo. Now the last golden key is this. Sri Aurobindo is that evolving avatar. Right from inconscient to matter to life to mind. And the mother is a descending avatar. So she comes down in different forms. All these are forms that we have said, Sri Rama, Sri Ram Krishna, all these are forms of the divine mother herself. It's now she has come down. That is why for the first time in her own unique form, that is the mother's form. Till now she took the form of Buddha and Christ and all this. Because she is always the descending avatar, Sri Aurobindo is the ascending avatar. So all each time they have to unite to give birth to the new. It's for the first time that we see them in their original form. That is the supramental Mahashakti and Sri Aurobindo as the Purusha. So that is why Supermind has gotten the chance of being born. So this time there is no question of mother coming as somebody else and kind of lessening her own power. So she, if you read the mother, as I told in my last talk, is the smallest book but with the greatest intensity of knowledge is the little book The Mother. All this knowledge that I am speaking about is that in the tiny book called The Mother. So there he says, mother is the supramental Mahashakti. Now you understand the whole story fits together. Now Savitri is a story of him and her, of Sri Aurobindo and the mother. The way they have evolved from the inconscient, the way they have brought down the supermind. So this is actually an autobiography. It is not an epic poem. For me, it's purely an autobiography of Mother and Sri Aurobindo. Sri Aurobindo said always, my life has not been in the external, nobody can know that, I have lived within. So he writes about his own journey in Savitri. And that is why now we understand when the mother said that each time he was writing, Sri Aurobindo, she had the same experiences sitting in the other room. So parallelly he was writing and she was experiencing. Because it's the same consciousness. Because it's the same story of both of them. And it's very romantic to hear. Mother says, next morning after writing, while the mother was brushing her hair, Sri Aurobindo would sit there and read out the line that he wrote the previous day. And mother says, he was reading out exactly what I had experienced. So he wrote, she had the same experience. So that is why it's a combined story. It's not Savitri is not a figure, Satyavan is not a name, Ashwapati is a hero. No, it's a complete autobiography. So if you want to know about Mother and Sri Aurobindo, Savitri is the book where we get this entire inner dimension. I think it's been an overdose for you or? Yeah, it was, you know, I started with them. Those are supposed to have read a little bit. But if you have any questions, you're most welcome.
Yeah,
enough for today, huh?
It's up to you. I'm game.
When is the class tomorrow?
5 o'clock or something?
Yeah.
Oh, not five.
Oh, 5 o'clock in the morning.
No, not in the morning.
Okay.
And I get up at 5, no problem for me. I come at 4:30, no problem. No, it's...
No, tomorrow is
Saturday.
Yes, it's 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would request you youngsters to come tomorrow because this is the center of Sri Aurobindo's philosophy and psychology. There I'll discuss in detail on the chart. Because if you understand that philosophy, all this would become easy for you. Not easy, but easier. But do come. Tell all your friends to come tomorrow. So it's 5 o'clock?
5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Two?
To
dinner time?
The dinner time is actually 6:30.
6:30?
It's dinner.
Oh, make it 7.
Very short.
So we have an hour.
Well, it depends on your questions. If you have no questions, I can finish in 1 hour. No, but tomorrow you'll have lots of questions and put your dinner at 7. I can tell you in advance.
Yeah.
Then don't blame me.
It's difficult because we have a concert at...
At 8.
7:30.
Oh, that...
And after the reading...
Oh, we have Savitri reading after the concert.
Yeah.
Okay, the concert is at 7:30 to 8:30. And Savitri reading?
After. It's no time.
No time.
After what?
Possibly around 9. But it will be on time.
Reading?
I mean, I don't know if you can arrange
the... I saw the bhajan is pretty long, but if you can give them a proper time, because these bhajans can go for 2 hours or 15 minutes. It can be anything. So unless you give them a timing, because I've seen the... No, I mean, I'm just joking, but you can specify time. Because otherwise these things can be elongated. You know, repeat the mantra and bhajan each time. So give them a time, maybe it's okay.
I just would like to say that in the morning at 7:15 there will be a meditation with one.
Can't believe that.
Indiana Shatan.
Okay, your questions have been answered? Your questions?
Yeah. I'm still about the swan's door and what is happening when you go behind and this subliminal.
Oh, this side,
really? Yeah. How will you distinguish and what is the experience when you come there and say that?
No, but you see, I'll give a brief reply there. You see, when we come to the subliminal, the experiences that you get are of the nature of universal contact. That means you will suddenly get visions of different worlds, thoughts which are very powerful and very wide, which are very in the scope, they're not narrow individual thoughts. You will begin to feel, oh, my mind is so big, so vast. So you will have that kind of a universality about it. So that's the level where you can see lots of visions, colors, lights. I mean, that's an indicator that you are on the subliminal level. So the outer nature, you don't have any of this, is limited, narrow, jealousies and all that are there. That you can understand, that is my outer being. But the moment you go in, there's a universality about thoughts and feeling, both of them. Feelings will not be just mine, it will be ours. The sense of unity is much stronger there. So if you can see this kind of a aura of thought coming into you, I'm feeling one with this whole body, then you can enjoy that subliminal state and try to be there, not to come out into my external mind and say, no, this is not my group. The moment you say mine, you are jumped back to the outer. Try to be in that. So that's the characteristic. Now if you are in that level, trying to be as many times, if not as much time, as many, it can be broken into, you know, after 2 years once again I get that experience. And that experience, if you can grasp that or keep that for a while, 10 seconds, 30 minutes or 20 minutes, then at that time the psychic comes forward. At that time, it's kind of, you know, the psychic being has a greater agony that even the Purusha and all of them are kind of, as we said, bouncing forward. So your state should be of the subliminal. At the moment you are there, you know, you went to into nature today. Okay, we have taken a walk. But if you get a chance, go there and sit there. And already feel that vastness. In fact, the mother would say, you sit on the terrace and look at the sky, the innumerable stars, look at the ocean, look at this beautiful greenery and that. Anything that gives you the sense of the vastness, she says, absorb that. So those few minutes, you can be sure you are in the subliminal. Because mind per se cannot absorb. It doesn't have the absorption capacity. But it's my subliminal which has the capacity to absorb this entire beautiful nature. I mean, vaster than this Himalayas I can take into my being. So that is why the importance of sitting in nature, under the stars, in front of the ocean, sense of the vastness. So at that time, if you can think of the divine, if you can think of the psychic being, if you can aspire that may my psychic come forward, you will see the passage is smoother. You won't find that kind of a barring or jarring. So I would personally say, instead of trying to meditate and get the psychic, get into this beautiful thing. It's much easier because you are already a step back. You don't have to make the effort of silencing the mind. Automatically nature has penetrated you, if I can say, and pushed you to your subliminal. There, now you be quiet, you are with your friends and say, no, let's meditate here. That will be very easy. That is the secret why, I suppose, our ancient rishis went to the forest, went to mountains, where they had an automatic width of consciousness by looking into those beautiful mountains and the sea and that. So it really pulled them into the subliminal very easily. There, in that status, they sat for meditation. So for us, for our day-to-day thing also, I know in Berlin and Hamburg it doesn't allow us, but at least in our own terraces, in our own houses at night, look at the stars. That is visible everywhere. You may not have the nature and the ocean, but stars are everywhere. Whatever. Or sometimes the music. That's another experience that really pushes you into the subliminal. I mean, not the modern jazz and all that. It's that classical Indian Western music, which really pull you inside into the subliminal. So the value of all this art and great music, spiritual value is that. They push you into the subliminal. And then you meditate. It will be easier. The knocking of the door will be faster. So that's the value of all these things. And now I hope you understand the subliminal, the inner being. Yeah? Is that okay? Yeah, we'll just sit for a while, 1 minute quiet, and then we'll go.